This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe, Ian Acker, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we've got all sorts of sounds and songs and stories for you today. We will hear from Amanda Lees and Jenny Yeti from Dim the Lights with Amanda and Jenny about the latest films in local theaters. We will also hear about the New York State Legislature's efforts to pass a bill protecting access to gender-affirming care. And we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
My name is Michaela Jordan Murray from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. And add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of David White of Greenville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe, Ian Acker, and you've tuned in to WGXC Local News for Wednesday, June 14th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that thousands more New York workers will get 12 weeks of fully paid parental leave after Governor Kathy Hochul reached a contractual agreement with the State Civil Service Employees Association, Public Employees Federation, and United University Professions labor unions. Workers there will now be eligible for up to 12 weeks of fully paid leave for mothers and fathers bringing a new baby, fostered, or adopted child home. If ratified, the agreements would add almost 140,000 workers, covering more than 80% of New York's workforce. Hochul said, quote, "We want to make sure that we break down the stigma or any barriers to men feeling that they cannot take the time to be with their child because they will never regret a moment of it. They'll never regret being home," unquote. The story says that, quote, "The United States is the only developed country in the world without a national paid parental leave policy," unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Mid-Hudson News reports that Representative Pat Ryan is joining other Democrats in trying to get around the Republican majority in the House of Representatives to force floor votes on an assault weapons ban, universal background checks, and closing the Charleston loophole. They need to get 218 representatives to sign on, so the Democrats need a few Republicans to join them in an attempt to lessen the gun violence in the United States. Ryan is vice chair of the Gun Violence Prevention Task Force and represents the 18th Congressional District. Ryan said, quote, "We're not going to wait for Kevin McCarthy, his MAGA extremist allies who all day long lecture about public safety and crime. You want to talk about public safety? Let's stop having our kids gunned down by the same weapons that I carried in combat for 27 months. That's public safety," unquote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Jamal Cutler reports at Columbia Green Media that Democrats in Kinderhook nominated Sally Naramore for the town council, Natalie D. Jones for town clerk tax collector, and Ken Golden for town justice. Naramore said, quote, "My major reason for running is that I feel we need more visibility as a town through social media and events," unquote. Jones said, quote, "I have very strong computer, clerical, communication, and personal skills, in addition to experience in customer and public service. I can also maintain databases and websites," unquote. Golden said, quote, "I see this position of town justice as an important one in trying to instill confidence in the public's sense of the rule of law and that justice is still an important part of our society, and we all need to play an important role in that," unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, June 14th. Local early morning temperatures range from 43 degrees in Medusa to 53 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 62 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium, possibly falling into low territory today as a storm system rolls through. Make sure everything is charged up because rain chances start at 9 a.m. We see a high temperature of 75 degrees around 1 p.m. Then expect a sharp temperature drop and possible wind gusts, hail, and thunder. Overnight, rain tapers off by dawn, and we see a low temperature of 55 degrees. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a little afternoon rain and a high of 77 at 4 p.m. Overnight dips to 55 degrees. Then Friday will be another stormy day with a high of 70. Saturday, still rainy with a high of 72. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 12:35 a.m., low tide at 7:20 a.m., high tide at 12:57 p.m., and low tide at 7:23 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 70 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 8:18 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see some large new sunspots swinging into view could cause flare activity this week. Combine that with radio wave absorbing rain and possible lightning, and that all amounts to cell phone ranges fluctuating, which means a lot of dropped calls. Plasma winds will be slow today at 350 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2.6, quiet. The current sunspot number is 98. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
If it's not De La Slow, then it's not WRMS. We're cats in control, twisting and tuning until you're perfectly content. Special cat call goes out to the suckers at the donut shop. Thanks for serving it to me. Dark, hot, and no caffeine. Snuggle tight and hang loose, boys. It's time to groove to a De La Slow move on WRMS.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
We're going to tell you about what's playing locally, and I'll start at the top of the mountain with the Wyndham Theater. We have The Flash, with problematic indie darling, whatever.
Ezra Miller. I don't know that I would call him an indie darling anymore.
He used to be. Not anymore. He grew up.
I think they're just disgraced actor.
Now he's just an adult actor. Yeah. So The Flash. See it if you want, whatever. Elemental and Transformers Rise of the Beasts. You can find out more about these showtimes and all that at WindhamTheater.com. That's WindhamTheater.com.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you what's playing at the Crandall Theater over in Chatham. We have also The Flash, like a whole lot of it. And then at the end of June, going through July, we have Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And also, there's a children's musical free on Saturday, July 8th. Could You Hug a Cactus? And that's all. If you would like more specific information about any of those wonderful shows, you can go to crandalltheater.org.
Man, I do need more information about whether or not you can hug a cactus.
Can you hug a cactus?
Can you?
It's a great question. We'll have to see.
Sorry, I'm messing with my little
that's great.
Here.
That sounds better.
That sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure does.
All right, I'm going to tell you about what's happening at Drive-In 32, otherwise known as the Greenville Drive-In in Greenville, New York, on Route 32. Upcoming on June 30th and July 1st, we have Top Gun. On July 7th and 8th, we have Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. And then on July 15th, we have the greatest comedy ever made, Airplane.
Yeah, that rules.
And then for Christmas in July, on July 22nd, we have The Nightmare Before Christmas. You can find out more about what's playing at the Greenville Drive-In at drivein32.com. Also, I have a karaoke event there.
Oh, when's that?
I have a karaoke event there on June 22nd that I found out today is open to the public.
Ooh, that's so exciting.
If you want to read your karaoke lyrics off of the drive-in screen, you can come out.
I do. That sounds very fun. Very, very big lyrics. All right. And now I'm going to tell you, moving back across the river, what's playing down in Rhinebeck at the Upstate Cinemas, also known as the Star Cinema. It took me a little bit to get there. We're here. All right. So in Rhinebeck this week, you can expect to see National Theater Live, Good, The Eight Mountains, Blind Willow, Sleeping Woman, Sanctuary, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Ooh, the good one from the 70s.
Yeah, they're having a whole alien themed series.
So
right
fun.
Now.
Oh, I saw because Communion was playing a couple weeks ago, and I was like, seen. Rats. I was so mad I missed
rats.
It.
Rats.
We also have, still at Rhinebeck, don't get it twisted, The Man Who Fell to Earth, Close Up, Skate Dreams, You Hurt My Feelings, and Hilma. And then heading back to the other side of the river, playing at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, we have Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Elemental, The Man Who Fell to Earth, Stay Awake, Pomegranates with a live original score, The Little Mermaid, You Hurt My Feelings, Moment of Contact, ooh, The Phenomenon, ooh, and Close Up, Bitter Brush with director Emily Madavian in person. And if you would like to learn some more about those specific showtimes, you can head on over to upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. Well, I have a couple more theaters to tell you about, including the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie off of Route 9W. So this is a four-screen drive-in movie theater, and these are the showtimes. Right now, they're still only open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So these are the showtimes and movies for June 16th through 18th. On screen one, we have The Flash and Transformers Rise of the Beasts. On screen two, we have Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse and Super Mario Brothers, not the live-action one. Screen three, we have Dazed and Confused and Wet Hot American Summer.
So fun. Oh, my God.
I'm trying to do that. And then on screen four, we have Elemental and The Little Mermaid. You can find out more at highwaydrivein.com, and that's spelled HIWAYdrivein.com.
All right. The last theater I have to tell you about is TSL in Hudson. And we have playing this week Beyond the Visible, Hilma off Clint, Fun fact, that's the last movie I saw in the theater before COVID happened, which I actually also saw at TSL. They're bringing it back, baby. They also have Werkmeister Harmonies. Your best guess is as good as mine for what that's about.
No idea.
No idea. They also have The Eight Mountains, Tokyo Stories, The Great Gabbo from 1929, and Limonista from 2022. And you can find out more about those specific showtimes and maybe some information about these crazy sounding movies at timeandspace.org.
Gorgeous. All right. Last but not least, and also in the lovely city of Hudson, New York, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Spotlight Cinemas, otherwise known as the 8 Screen Cinema on Fairview Avenue. We have The Boogeyman, The Machine, which I'm pretty sure is based off of a stand-up comedy story.
Okay.
Because I think one of my friends who likes stand-up showed me this guy telling this story, and I think it was turned into a movie.
Oh, that's fun.
Anyways, The Bogeyman, The Machine, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, Spider-Man, Across the Spider-Verse, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3, Super Mario Brothers Movie, Fast X, and The Little Mermaid. Those are the movies playing at Spotlight Cinema right now. You can check it out at spotlightcinemas.com and just make sure that you choose Hudson, New York in the drop-down menu.
Wow, it really is blockbuster season. They're out.
I know, exactly.
A New York nonprofit group is petitioning the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to abide by a law passed in 1968. The law addresses how the FDA is supposed to inform people about non-ionizing radiation. This type of radiation is commonly found in wireless devices like cell phones and Wi-Fi routers. Americans for Responsible Technology is among the organizations petitioning the FDA, saying it hasn't been following the law. The group's founder and national director, Doug Wood, describes what Congress charged the FDA to do through this law.
To conduct studies and research to find out how people are exposed. They want to have the FDA develop and test methods for people to reduce their exposure. And then they want the FDA to make all of this available to the public in a way that helps the public reduce their exposure.
Numerous studies have shown a broad range of health impacts this kind of radiation can have. Despite those findings, both the National Cancer Institute and American Cancer Society have said there isn't a conclusive link between cell phone use and development of tumors. The FDA has 180 days to evaluate the petition. If rejected, the petitioners would have the option to file suit. One thing Wood hopes will come from this petition is a firm set of regulations on devices that emit non-ionizing radiation. He also hopes it raises public awareness of these issues so that people will take cell phone use more seriously.
For instance, the FDA should be telling people, men especially, don't put the phone in your pocket because we know it causes testicular cancer as well as DNA damage, which can impact a future pregnancy.
The Environmental Protection Agency notes people can reduce their exposure by limiting cell phone use, texting instead of calling, and increasing the distance between a wireless device and a person's body. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
There are so many things on the WGXC community calendar for you to do, some of them virtual, some of them in real life, in real reality. But they're all on the WGXC community calendar at WGXC.org, where you can add your own event by clicking on the Add an Event button and then filling in the blanks. And soon enough, someone like me will be reading about your event on the radio, and others around the world will see it online at WGXC.org in the community calendar. There is a local film shot in Saugerties and Lake Katrine called Stay Awake, showing at the Orpheum Film and Performing Arts Center in Tannersville, Wednesday, June 14th from 7 to 9 p.m. Thursday, June 15th, Abby Lappin is teaching movement and music story time at the Hudson Area Library at 4 p.m. The Hudson Thursday Market is in the public square in Hudson from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 15th. Thursday, June 15th, the Waco Brothers and the Neon Gamblers perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 10 p.m. on Thursday, June 15th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. If you can't make it, in person, you can listen online with a live web stream of the entire show at from 7 to 10 p.m. at wgxc.org/listen. And we will try to broadcast the 8 p.m. hour on the radio at 90.7 FM. The band Caliphone performs at Upstate Films in Saugerties on Thursday, June 15th. They are performing the live original score to the film The Color of Pomegranates, Sergei Parajanov's 1969 movie. That's from 8 to 10 p.m. Thursday, June 15th at Upstate Films in Saugerties. Friday, June 16th, the Dust Bowl Fairies and Helen Gillett perform from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Sunset timed concert at Opus 40, Friday, June 16th. Also Friday, June 16th, from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Catskill's Amy Rigby performs with Anthony Kaczynski. That's from 8 to 11 at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, and from 8 to 10 it should be live on the radio at 90.7 FM, and the whole web stream from 8 to 11 should be at wgxc.org/listen. Saturday, June 17th, Fred Gillen Jr. performs at Coyote Flacco in Claverick. That's at 6 p.m. The Williamsburg Avant-Garde Book Release Party with Cisco Bradley and his The Williamsburg Avant-Garde Book is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, Saturday, June 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. Some local performances. Tiana Kennedy from Delaware County will be performing, among others. Saturday, June 17th, Moment of Contact is showing at Upstate Films in Saugerties at 7 p.m. 8 to 9 p.m. Saturday, June 17th, the Resistance Revival Chorus performs as part of the Juneteenth celebration at Promenade Hill Park in Hudson. A chorus of 60 women and non-binary singers singing on Promenade Hill, Saturday, June 17th, the Resistance Revival Chorus. Sunday, June 18th, there is a yoga and sound bath at noon at the Platte Clove Neighborhood Center. The traditional Irish music session is at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Bring an instrument to perform. And Invasion of the Body Snatchers shows at Star Cinemas in Rhinebeck, Upstate Films, at 7 p.m. on Sunday, June 18th. These events and more are in the WGXC community calendar. Find out more there and add your own event at wgxc.org. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
In a time when the attacks on gender-affirming care across the United States are relentless, the New York State Legislature passed a bill protecting access to gender-affirming care. Today, we are joined by New York Civil Liberties Union Policy Counsel, Allie Bohm. Welcome to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thanks for having me.
What does this legislation say, and what does it do?
The biggest thing that this bill does is it makes clear that New York will not be complicit in other states' attempts to punish the provision, receipt, or support for gender-affirming care. It means that the bill is going to protect providers' licensure and prevent med-mal practice insurers from taking adverse action because a provider delivered gender-affirming care to a patient in New York State, even if that patient traveled to New York from outside of the state to receive care. The legislation will also prevent New York law enforcement from cooperating with another state's investigation into gender-affirming care lawfully provided here in New York. And it's going to do that in a few ways. It's going to prevent New York from arresting or extraditing somebody because they provided, aided in, or received lawful gender-affirming care here in New York. And it's also going to prohibit New York courts from issuing subpoenas. Those are formal documents that request documents or information in connection with a hostile state's proceeding related to gender-affirming care lawfully provided in New York. The other thing that it does, and this feels really critical to me, under this legislation, New York will not apply or enforce in its courts any law that considers supporting one's child to obtain gender-affirming care to be child abuse. And that's really important because uniquely in this context, hostile states are weaponizing their family regulation systems, or what some people call the child protective systems, against supportive parents and separating young people from their supportive parents. And we are saying clearly here, we are not going to be a part of that.
Thank you for that, Allie. And I was wondering if you could like zoom out a little bit and maybe provide some context of what we've been hearing in the news of legislation across the country that has been passed. And how did we get to this point where it became sort of necessary for New York to pass this bill?
Well, we are in a frankly truly scary time. In the 2023 legislative session alone, so that is this year, at least 130 bills have been introduced in around 34 states targeting medically necessary health care for transgender, gender nonconforming, and non-binary people. And I just want to hang a flag here to say that I'm not talking about intersex people here very deliberately, because most of these bills, while they criminalize or prohibit care for trans folk, they actually carve out the same medical interventions when they are forced onto intersex people to make their genitalia fit more squarely in the F box or the M box. On last count, I checked right before this interview, 22 of them have become law.
Why is it important for the New York Civil Liberties Union to be involved in this, to speak out, to put out a statement after this bill was passed in New York?
It starts from caring about trans folk, and specifically caring about trans young people. Access to gender-affirming care can be life-saving. Denying young people this care contributes to depression, to eating disorders, to isolation, to self-harm, to folks trying to make their bodies more like what they want them to be without medical intervention. A recent study found that transgender youth who received puberty blockers or hormone care were 73% less likely to die by suicide over a 12-month period. So for us, as an organization that has always supported LGBTQ people and trans people and always believed in our humanity as LGBTQ folks, it is really important for us to be part of this state sending a very clear message that we support trans people and we support trans young people here in New York, and that we are going to be a beacon for access to care to the greatest extent possible here.
Now, the cover of the Capital Region Pride Guide has a map on it with QR codes telling stories of reported incidents in school-based anti-LGBTQ behavior in New York State. They range from threats for libraries for holding books to drag queen story hours to anti-trans folks participating in sports right here in the Capital Region. You know, we think sometimes we are the safe haven in New York for some of these things. But from your sort of like policy counsel, legal perspective, what else should New Yorkers be paying attention to as these anti-LGBTQ bills are being proposed and passed around the country?
Yesterday, I was in Albany for the New York State Department of Education's release of a legal update and best practices on creating safe and supportive environments for transgender and gender expansive students. We've been working with the Department of Education and with a number of other advocates, a number of directly impacted people, trans youth themselves, adults who were once trans youth, psychologists, school nurses, you name it, on this legal update for maybe a year. You know, I want to be clear, we are lucky we live in a state that has long prohibited discrimination, bullying, and harassment in schools. Where the rubber meets the road, how do you make that happen in reality? And so that legal update is going to provide a new tangible framework to support TGNC and BI students so that they can focus on learning, friendships. It goes through best practices, soup to nuts, right? Names and pronoun use, bathrooms and locker rooms, athletics, inclusive curriculum, student records, and it's providing clear examples. So those are both roadmaps for schools that want to do the right thing, but also roadmaps for students themselves and for their families to advocate for themselves if they happen to be in a school district that doesn't want to do the right thing. And unfortunately, you know, as you observed, we have a lot of those in this state still. And I want folks to know that that document, when it was released yesterday, received overwhelming support from the region. The other thing that I want to flag for folks on like the what can I do spectrum, maybe I'm not, you know, supporting a trans person in a school, maybe I'm not seeking healthcare right now. It may be surprising that our state constitution does not protect LGBTQ New Yorkers or trans New Yorkers. And, you know, as we know, when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, it made clear that if our rights are not explicitly written down, they can be taken away. And the Supreme Court is not just angling at abortion and contraception, right? They're angling at marriage equality. They're angling at trans rights. And so here in New York, we're not going to take any chances. We're going to be clear that our state constitution covers everybody. So next year, New Yorkers will have the opportunity to vote on one of the most expansive state constitutional amendments in the country. It prohibits discrimination against numerous historically targeted identities, including it has protections for sexual orientation, for gender identity and expression. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say that it also explicitly protects pregnant people in the Constitution from discrimination and criminalization, whether they have an abortion, whether they miscarry, or whether they give birth. I think two other things that are on my radar of like what work do we still need to do? Our curriculum in schools, and I'm looping back to schools, doesn't see us right now. And so we need to pass comprehensive sex education that is LGBTQ inclusive and that teaches us how to have healthy futures, right? Gives us the tools to have healthy futures as LGBTQ people. It shows LGBTQ people that we're not alone. And it shows LGBTQ people's classmates that LGBTQ folks exist. So it is a tool for improving school climate and preventing bullying and harassment of LGBTQ youth. I think another piece, we have these really protective civil rights laws that need to be implemented. And, you know, some of what I've talked about today is how we're implementing them. And those laws often in practice stop at the prison door or at the jail door. And so we need to think about how we are treating trans folk in prisons and jails. We need to be housing people according to their gender identities, calling them by their names and pronouns, making sure they have access to commissary items that align with their gender identities, respecting their names and pronouns in searches and their bodies in searches. The list goes on, and there's legislation pending to do that as well. That's the Gender Identity Respect, Dignity, and Safety Act. So those are just a few of the things that are on my radar. I should also mention in last year's executive budget, we passed a law requiring all state agencies to recognize ex-gender markers. That law went into effect this January for most agencies. It goes into effect for the rest of the agencies next January. And so we've got our eyes pretty closely on how that is being implemented to make sure that it is being implemented, because we know that our government should be seeing all of us and should be recognizing us and should be respecting us, and that that's really important too. So there's a lot happening here in New York, and there's a lot that folks can get involved with. If you're interested, feel free to go to nyclu.org. You can find out more information. You can also go to our Action Center and take action on many of these items.
Well, we are out of time, Allie Bohm. Thank you so much for joining us on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine today.
Thank you for having me.
We talked today with Mana Jo Green, who is stepping down as a staff person for Clearwater after 23 years of service, a couple more years prior to that as a board member. Also been for many years a member of the Ulster County Legislature. So Mana Jo, what are some of your thoughts after, you know, decades of activism on the Hudson River?
Well, we've won some and lost some, and I'm very proud of the things we've been able to accomplish, but the work is far from done. So I am hoping there'll be some wonderful young people that care about the Hudson River, that care about the environment, and that care about climate change, that will step up and develop their own leadership and keep the legacy of Pete and Toshi Seeger and the founders of Clearwater moving forward.
So what are some of the big victories that you remember over the decades that people should be aware of?
first one that took the longest to achieve was to get EPA to require General Electric to clean up toxic chemical PCBs that they had discharged into the upper Hudson River that had contaminated the sediment and was moving through the food chain and is still found in Hudson River fish. There's still a health advisory against consuming most Hudson River fish. So that was a big one. And I would say the next most far-reaching is the fact that we were able to shut down Indian Point nuclear power plant in Westchester County. It had a long list of failures and transformer fires, loose baffle bolts found in the bottom of the reactor, and I could go on and on. It was time for that facility to be retired and not relicensed. And it took a lot of work to achieve that. But they saw the handwriting on the wall that they were losing the legal contentions that had been filed against them, and that they quite likely were not going to get relicensed. So they went into negotiations and created a settlement agreement and closed within 3 years. Now, the most important issue is ensuring the safest possible decommissioning of that facility and protecting the Hudson River from a proposed discharge of 1 million gallons of radioactive water as soon as August of this year.
Well, our listeners probably know that the state legislature just recently allegedly finished their work for the year. And while the Senate did pass the bill to stop the dumping of the radioactive waste of water into the Hudson River, the Assembly went home without taking a vote on it, partly because the Republicans demanded to debate it, and Assembly Speaker Hasey was laying aside anything that was going to come up for the debate. How bad was that inaction by the Assembly?
Well, it passed unanimously in the Senate. There were unanimous resolutions in support from Westchester County, Rockland County, and Ulster County. That means that it had wide bipartisan support. It will come back up, I believe, on July 22nd. So it's still possible. But this is an historic piece of legislation. If we can protect the Hudson River, it sets a precedent for more than 90 other reactors across the country that will be closed and decommissioned, for those communities to be able to protect their water as well. So I certainly hope that Speaker Hasty gets this to the floor. I am quite sure it will pass, even with the Republican opposition, and that the governor will sign it. That is so critical. She can either make history or add to infamy.
Now, one of the key figures with Clearwater, of course, was with Pete Seeger, and his wife Toshi was also quite active. I see many photos of you and Pete on Facebook. You know, what are some of your recollections about Pete's role, helping out with Clearwater and trying to clean up the Hudson?
Well, first of all, he was a visionary. The Hudson River was a foul sewer of a river, with industrial waste and raw sewage and you name it, back in the 60s. And he had a vision that by building a boat and bringing people out on the river and also using the power of song, we could clean up the river and restore it to a healthy, beautiful state. And that vision, he manifested that vision. It came true. And the first thing they did was sail up and down the river and collect hundreds of thousands of signatures, sail the boat to Washington, D.C., and hold an impromptu congressional briefing, and concert. And that is considered the tipping point for the passage of the Clean Water Act, which is one of the three major pieces of environmental legislation that has helped this country to restore a cleaner environment and protect it from future insult.
Now, we did discuss the fact that Holtec, who is decommissioned Indian Point nuclear power plant, you know, plans to dump, you know, radioactive waste into the Hudson River. What are some of the other, you know, key issues that are still out there that we need to deal with the Hudson River?
Well, I would say there's a whole category called emerging contaminants. And the most classic example is the city of Newburgh's water supply was contaminated with a chemical called PFOS that people were drinking for years. It was runoff from Stewart Air National Guard. And now, fortunately, they're on clean water from the New York City Aqueduct. Some of the cleanest water there is for a drinking water source. There are many new contaminants. There's also a proposed fossil fuel expansion at Danskammer, just north of Newburgh, which would burn fossil fuel, contribute to air pollution, and add to the greenhouse effect, exacerbating the climate crisis. So those are some of the things that we're currently working on. But it's an uphill battle. It takes constant vigilance, and it takes building trust so people will take action.
So what's next for, you know, Manna Jo Green? Is it writing the memoirs? Is it cleaning up Ulster County? What's your next step?
It's a little of both. I absolutely would like to see us maximize waste diversion and site a landfill, because if you have a landfill, it can be an asset that people want to protect, so they'll really be active in reducing, reusing, recycling, composting, etc., to divert waste. So that's one thing. Another is to help people understand climate science and possible solutions. And this is something you know quite a bit about, and we'll be using your book as guidance. And I do want to write some memoirs, and I reached out to a friend of mine who's a writer, and we're going to work together on that.
And if people want more information about Clearwater, how best can they do that?
www.clearwater.org. And on July 7th, we're doing a send-off sale, a sunset sale from Beacon to celebrate my retirement. And that's listed right there on the website. Also on Facebook, Hudson River Sloop Clearwater has a page, and you can register right there.
Manna Jo Green stepping down from Clearwater, but still fighting the fight to clean up our environment, stop climate change. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Elias Sorich reports for the Times Union that in Ulster County, from Kingston to Saugerties and over to Phoenicia, 99% of adult ash trees have died as of last year because of the emerald ash borer, an insect native to East Asia that was first detected in New York State in 2009. Charles Canham, senior scientist emeritus at the Cary Institute of Ecosystem Studies, says it is only a matter of time before most of the ash trees in New York and North America are gone. Canham said, and I quote, "At this point, most adult white ash across its entire range, which spreads from northern Maine out to Oklahoma and Texas, I expect most of them to die. Some will survive because the insects won't find them all. Isolated individuals will survive, but I would not be surprised if we lose 80 to 90% of adult white ash trees." End quote. Most of the dead trees are still standing, and when they fall, they may cause more problems. Jason Denham, a forester with the State Department of Environmental Conservation's Bureau of Invasive Species and Ecosystem Health, said, and I quote, "It's a big problem for private landowners, for utilities, for anybody who's managing public areas, and I think it's going to continue to be a big problem for quite some time. There are a lot of ash trees around hiking trails, picnic areas, campsites, home and power lines. I've talked with private homeowners who have 30 dead ash trees on their small property. It's not financially feasible for them to have them all taken down," end quote. And the trees did provide air quality help and heat mitigation, but won't when they die. Canham said, and I quote, "We've only got 15 to 20 common tree species in the northeastern U.S. We're whittling that list down. Every decade, we're losing another player on the stage. I find that both ethically and ecologically alarming," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. David Lee reports in the Columbia paper, Representative Mark Molinaro said conflicting statements about local broadband recently. Molinaro, who represents the 19th Congressional District, said in a press release, and I quote, "Rural communities can no longer be an afterthought. For too long, rural communities in Columbia County, Greene County, and across upstate New York have had to deal with significant gaps in internet connectivity and deteriorating infrastructure," end quote. So many people locally lack internet service. But then June 2nd, at the Ghent Firehouse, Molinaro said, and I quote, "I want to commend Columbia County and former Congressman Delgado, who worked together with Assemblymember Barrett very effectively to move both your planning process forward and investment. Now we are not in the last mile, but the last 100 feet, end quote. The New York State Public Service Commission broadband map says Columbia County is 95.9% covered, but others say things are not so good. Andrew Liddell, Dean of Student Development at Columbia Green Community College, said that in a survey conducted last year, 27% of students at the college reported that cellular and internet access at home was a barrier for them. Read more about this story in the Upstater. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that New York State Assembly lawmakers will return to Albany June 20th for 2 days of legislative work, a source familiar with the discussion said on June 13th. Several bills were passed by the state Senate in the legislative session but not voted on by the Assembly, such as a ban on releasing radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River. The Assembly could vote on these bills and send them to the governor for a signature or a veto. The Assembly is also looking at finalizing a deal for a casino for Seneca Nation near Rochester. Another bill being considered would extend subsidized health care coverage to New Yorkers without legal status living in the state. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grand. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
And in the WGXC community calendar, there are so many events that you can attend in person or virtually. Find out about all kinds of things to do at WGXC.org in the community calendar, including Upstate Films on Thursday, June 15th, is presenting The Color of Pomegranates with a live original score performed by the band Caliphone. It's Sergei Parajanov's 1969 film, and it's being shown at Upstate Films in Saugerties from 8 to 10 p.m. with the band Caliphone providing a live original score. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 1 p.m. The temperature high will be near 70 degrees. On Wednesday night, there will be showers and thunderstorms before midnight. Then a chance of showers. The temperature low will be around 54 degrees. And on Thursday, a slight chance of showers between noon and 3 p.m. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m. Otherwise, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 76 degrees. And Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m., then a slight chance of showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 55 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
2023 new music there from Paramore. News is the name of that song. Next here's 2023 music from Deerhoof. The song is called Sit Down and Let Me Tell You a Story.
Thank you. しつぶされそうになる。
Wave Farms Art Park is now open on Saturdays. Drop in for unannounced guided tours on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m. or book a tour in advance on other days. Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Acre is the home of the Art Park with 13 installations in the Study Center, WGXC Acre Studio, and the Wave Farms International Artist Residency Program. Visitors on Saturdays receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free and tours typically last 60 to 90 minutes. Again, on Saturdays, Wave Farms Art Park is open for drop-in visits anytime from noon to 6 p.m. from June through October. Stop by Wave Farm on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m. Mm-hmm.